that are on the earth, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and waves, people thinking with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Thus far the text. It's an interesting thing that happens every year at this time of Advent. And one really only sees it when they stop and pay attention closely. So yet again, through the office of the Holy Ministry, God is getting your attention and rattling your cage. And everyone looks forward to having their cage rattled, right? When one pays close attention to what is going on at this time of the church year, they will see what seems to be a split personality taking place. The church is saying, follow me. And some sit through the service, putting up with the blah, blah, blah of God, because they just want to get out of the sanctuary and move on into their so-thought better understanding. Because the world is also saying, follow me. I liken it to children who have something so set in their mind, so much so, that they simply shut down when their authoritative parents are trying to deliver the best teaching they can hear. Kind of like Mother Church speaking to her children. And the children are saying, yeah, whatever. Nice try. I'm going to go get influenced by the ways of the world now. Thanks for caring, though. So goes the penitential season of Advent. The Lord feeds and tends through Mother Church the importance of being prepared. That is the whole meaning of the penitential season of Advent. Penitential preparation for Christ's coming. That is the best teaching, the most caring and loving proclamation that Mother Church is delivering to those born of her. And what is the reaction to such a preparation for the end of time? Oh, the audacity of such an end times message being proclaimed during what the world has determined a joyful time of marketing sales. How dare you, God the Father? How dare you, Mother Church? What's that? Be warned. Be prepared. Be repentant and believing. That's just no fun. The world says we should already be celebrating Christmas. It already has been for weeks now. Who are you to come along and say different? Way to rain on the parade, God. Is that any way to be while everyone else is saying, eat, drink, and be merry? Oh, well, say what you will. I'll just put up with you saying what you think is important. I'm just going to go out and be influenced by the world's better teaching. It's way more fun. My friends in Christ Jesus, remember how Luther put it. Whatever it is that you rely on for your joy and peace, the began the office of the holy ministry that God the Father ordained to deliver His Word. As Mother Church guides you in the most parental and loving way, heed the Word of the Lord. That essential preparation for Christ's second coming matters. This message does not want to be taken seriously because of sinful flesh, self-seeking, rebellious flesh. It's that simple. Man wants to live in his own determined freedom, not the freedom determined by God. The freedom that God determines involves God breaking and hindering you. It involves God bringing about repentance. It involves going through that loving and gory cross of Christ. It involves your thinking being adjusted by God so that you're actually set apart from the world. It involves your old Adam dying so that the new man may arise by the power of the gospel. God is behind all of this as He brings you to hear His Word and partake of His sacraments. That is why He is preaching to you right now, that you would heed His Word, that you would stop in all of the hustle and bustle in the world and evaluate and not be in an indifferent double-mindedness. And friends, it is only through Christ that you are truly set free. Sure, God commands that you be perfect, but for you this is impossible. Christ was perfect for you. That's what sets you free. Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. But as soon as that is proclaimed, as true as it is, watch out. Be aware of that old Adam who's within you, who keeps striving to survive. He is going to spin that to mean that you have license to be indifferent, that you're allowed to be double-minded. The church says it at that season. I love you, I care for you. I'm here to prepare you through this penitential season of Advent. The world says, skip it. It's no fun. Listen, there are things within the church that you can be indifferent about. Our Lutheran confessions even speak of them. It even happened just now. I misread the bulletin insert, moved on to the epistle. The primary school still needed to sing. So they sang. I had everybody stand from their singing and not stand from the hallelujahs. Oh my, is this not a divine service anymore because of that? No. God doesn't mind. It's a simple mistake. We can be indifferent about that. But God still works through it. But the confessions also state that in matters of confession, when a state must be made clear for the sake of the gospel and for teaching the people, then there is no such thing as indifference. Dear Christians, the concern is if you believe that it isn't that big of a deal to be indifferent toward the church, even in the fact that the church year and its seasons are a man-made calendar, if it's not worth taking the pains to observe what has been established that invents the questions, where is the the line drawn? What's next? How far will the indifference go? Why follow anything that the church puts forth? That is where it leads, and that is why it is a risky thing to be purposely doing. Can it be agreed that being indifferent is not the best preparation? You see now how this is an attention getter. This is the rattling of the cage to let you know to pay attention. Don't get duped by the world, your simple flesh, or the devil. The point here is there has to be some semblance that it matters, some show of care. Otherwise, what will others gain in their observance of such indifference? Remember, everything teaches. And what about the children? What are they taught about the role of the church in their lives? Is it really okay to teach them that the church, is it really okay to teach them that the church is going to say this, but just be indifferent and do whatever you want? God is prodding you to stop and consider your preparation. He brings his holy word to your ears to tell you about the end time. And you take it seriously. There shouldn't be a reaction against the church keeping you prepared. There should be thankfulness for delivering a reality check of how easily man can put God and his preparation through the church way down on the priority list. Advent is a penitential season in which God is preparing you for Christ's coming. And in today's gospel text, it emphasizes his coming at the end of time. God is not sorry that this is an inconvenience, because he loves and he cares. He doesn't work by force. So he exhorts you not to get so caught up in the cares of this world that you care less about his preparation, and that possibly leading to caring less about his truth altogether. I want to be very clear here. It's not that a perfect observance of the church calendar year and its season earns you eternity, for nowhere in Holy Scripture are you commanded to do so. God has earned your salvation through the merits of Christ crucified for you. God delivers that free forgiveness of sins through his word and his sacraments, shaping your Christian life in Christ within the church year. Even the most confessional Lutheran person doesn't gain heaven because of their being confessional. So one might ask, then why bother? Why bother with the adherence to the seasons of the church year? Why bother staying firmly confessional in our Lutheran doctrine? I might as well be indifferent. I'm free to do whatever I want. And that is how the world, your flesh, and the devil trick you into thinking that if there's no righteousness to be gained, which there isn't, then forget the whole thing. My friends, it's really the same as it is with good works. God doesn't need them. follow the seasons of the church? Why fight the good fight for the confessional Lutheranism? Because God is bringing you to care for your neighbor. It's God's grace alone, for the sake of Christ alone, through faith alone, that saves. And all of that is God's doing. But God created faith, is never alone. Because God frees you through Christ, He will bring you to love and care for your neighbor through Christ. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their father. The new man who God puts in you brings you to be set apart from the world and its thinking. As the world says, stay away, God. It's a time of gift giving now, and I want mine. The church actually prays, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. God will bring you to struggle against your very flesh. That's a blessed struggle. That's the struggle of the flesh versus the spirit. That's the struggle of repentant faith. Dying through Christ crucified to live through Christ resurrected. Through Him, you are free indeed. The end is always nearer than before. No man knows the hour. So as the end is upon you, in this penitential season of Advent, God has you reserve your glorious. God has you considering His preparation through the church, struggling with His truth, wrestling with the world, dying and rising day in and day out. God has you knowing that it does matter. But most of all, as He delivers His law and gospel to your ears, God has you penitentially prepared through Christ crucified for the forgiveness of all of your sins, proclaiming His death until He comes, filling you with your